The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Ro, there is so much happening in your part of the world that I'm worried we're going to run out of time. Do you want to hit the road running?
Well, let's hit the road, Jack. So I think the one of the big stories today was Netanyahu's visit yesterday to Hebron. Now, this is very rare for the Prime Minister, but I think to be expected as we approach the elections later this month. Now, earlier in the week, we spoke about the fact that he alluded to or spoke about perhaps annexing Jewish settlements within the West Bank or Judea and Samaria. Yesterday, he went to Hebron and he said, he vows that there will always be a Jewish presence in Hebron forever. So why is this so controversial, you ask?
Yeah.
And the reason is because Hebron is very, very much a tinderbox. It is one of Judaism's holy cities, but it also is very, very explosive when we look at the situation here between Israel and our Palestinian neighbors. And Jews at the moment live in a very, very, very small percentage of Hebron. In fact, only 3% of the city. And there is a very, very heavy IDF presence to ensure the safety of this 3%, and it's a place that could explode at any moment. So naturally, this close to the election, those of us who are familiar with Netanyahu's modus operandi know that he is politicking. However, from a Palestinian perspective, they have vowed violence in response to his visits to Hebron. Now, less than 2 weeks before an election, and with a very, very tense week that we have had this past week on our borders, we certainly don't need, you know, any extra stress, any extra balagan as we approach these elections. And then on the other side, and this is fascinating because these elections, you know, the sequel. I mean, democracy is so wonderful in this country. We've had to have it twice this year.
Yes.
Three times we're not going for, so just for the record. And yes. It's quite interesting to see how the players have differed from April. And the man who stands to gain the most, the man who's holding the most power, they call him the Kingslayer, is Avigdor Lieberman. And he's actually, you know, we've come to know Avigdor Lieberman as someone who's quite bombastic, maybe, you know, doesn't think twice before he opens his mouth. He kind of has a foot-in-mouth disease. But he's playing it very, very rational, and he's kind of positioned himself as the safety boat at the moment. He's the safety boat to what many are seeing as Netanyahu's recklessness. And, he came out yesterday saying that under a unity coalition government, he sees a place where there are no fundamentalists or ultra-Orthodox. It has to be a working government. And it's, you know, quite extraordinary words from Avigdor Lieberman, but what was even more extraordinary was that he said, you know, while he feels he's ready to be Prime Minister, he said, you know, the only person more ready than I am is Prime Minister Netanyahu, only based on experience. He said, but he knows the political system in Israel. He believes he's ready. He says, but maybe the next one. So he's positioned himself quite cautiously, which is, for me as an analyst, quite fascinating to watch.
Rolien, I'm going to read you, not to tell you how marvelous I am, but I'm going to read you just a very short SMS I wrote to a friend of mine on the eve of the last Israeli election. Indulge me for a sec. And I wrote the following. I'm just putting it out there before results are in. My guess is a government of national unity, Likud and Kahol Lavan, with no Netanyahu. Your thoughts? I mean, is there other solution, Rolien? I mean, that's where the vast majority of Israelis are. They're in the center. They don't want the extremists on either side. Surely.
Well, this is it. This is it. And this is what Lieberman has actually been pushing for, is, and this is what Kahol Velavan, if they're going to enter a coalition government, this is what they're going to respond to. They're going to respond to a coalition government without Netanyahu. Yes. Netanyahu literally is fighting for his political life. And I know that, I know that there are many, you know, amongst the listeners who don't want to hear that. But it's the reality on the ground in Israel. This is the fight for Netanyahu's political life. And while many Israelis say, you know, who else is qualified, the majority of the people here feel that it's time for a new perspective. It's time for a fresh perspective. And stunts like yesterday, where we are in a situation that's very precarious, certainly do not help.
Yeah, almost reckless, almost. All right, Rolene, moving on to another topic. Let's talk about remembering Munich.
Well, let's talk about remembering Munich, because, I mean, I can't believe that it is already 47 years today since the horrendous massacre that took place at the Munich Olympics in 1972. So if we put things into perspective, we go back to 1972 at the Munich Olympics. A terrorist group called Black September held 11 members of the Israeli Olympic team. It wasn't just athletes, there were coaches as well, and one German police officer hostage in demand for the release of 234 Palestinian prisoners. And in what turned out to be a botched rescue attempt by German police, they managed to kill 5 of the 8 terrorists. However, the remaining 3 mowed down the Israeli members of the Olympic team and the German policemen. And I mean, you know, if you are familiar with Israeli history, you'll know that Golda Meir was the prime minister at the time, and she vowed vengeance. And it's, you know, it's very famously portrayed in books, sure, and in the movie, sure, Munich. But what really, really disturbed all of us wasn't just the attack, which was horrendous beyond words, was that for the second time in less than a century, Jews were being targeted and killed on German soil. You know, of all the places for it to have happened, sure, you know, it was extremely painful for the Jewish, for the Israeli psyche. And I don't think any of us can forget the footage. It's very, very famous footage now of Peter Jennings, I think it was, in America, who broke the news that the hostages had been killed.
I mean, it's not something, I haven't seen that. That's interesting. That's probably available if one searched hard enough. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, why is she making news?
Well, you know, I think anything that the squad does is going to make news. I think let's just put it out there. But she's made news in an interview yesterday. She said that people mustn't conflate her criticism of Netanyahu with criticism of the state of Israel. Now, for me, this is very interesting, because it's a departure from what we've heard from the other two more high profile, we'll call them, of the squad. We can't count the fourth member, Presley, because when it comes to issues regarding Jews in Israel, she actually hasn't said anything. And in fact, she voted against BDS. She voted against supporting BDS. Yeah. So we can't really count her. Where she is very criticized is that she's using what many feel are racist pejoratives domestically within the USA. So that's why she's kind of been lumped with the other three. But Ocasio-Cortez is playing this a little bit more smart. I think she's seen the damage done to the credibility of people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, who many are just calling blatant anti-Semites. You know, we're very familiar with the rhetoric that comes from Ilhan Omar.
Sure.
And she's been very careful to say, you know, she feels that she can criticize Netanyahu, she can criticize his policies. It's not criticizing the state of Israel, the same as she feels she can criticize President Trump, and it's not being anti-American. And actually, she likened the allegations of lumping both the criticism of Netanyahu and of Israel into one bit as Trump-like behavior. So I don't know if she's been reprimanded. I don't know if somebody has sat her down and said, listen here, you've got to really, really think of your language. You know, the you're being watched, you freshman, congresswoman, people are watching to see the kind of language you are using, and also the phenomenon of Jews being used as political footballs in America and now sadly in global politics, you know, is causing a lot of insecurity and is causing a lot of panic.
Hear you loud and clear, and it's so interesting to me, Rolene, that this is an issue that you and I spoke about, wow, almost 8 or 9 months ago already, the fact that there seems to be a partisan, you know, the partisan nation, if there's such a word, of Israel, that it's becoming an issue. It had bipartisan support, and people are playing games, and it's too important to play games with. Anyway, there's so much more, as always, that I would like to raise with you, but thank you for your insights, and Shabbat Shalom, and I look forward to chatting to you on Monday.
Shabbat Shalom, and we'll chat again on Monday.